We had three focuses. One was that Jesus Christ would be exalted above everything else in everything that we do. Bill Johnson has a statement. He said, all the people come to church to meet God, and if they only meet us, they're going to leave really, really disappointed. So we want to make sure that Jesus Christ is exalted. The second thing we've prayed is that Jesus Christ would be revealed, that every person that walks in this house would have something about Jesus Christ revealed to you. And the third was that you would encounter him. Because and let me just be honest, for a year and a half, we have prayed every single service in agreement at the beginning of service that this would happen. Because our heart is that you would meet Jesus Christ. That wherever you, loving people to their next place in God, it just always comes up. But wherever you are, we all need to encounter Jesus. And that's what changes us. There's a song that says, I am changed in the presence of a holy God. And I know that that's where you have life change. It has nothing to do with productions or performances. It has to do with an encounter, a face-to-face encounter with God. So that's been our prayer now for a year and a half. And in November of last year, I listened to the Bible. Plug for the YouVersion Bible app that can read the Bible to you. It's beautiful. In all different versions, it's wonderful. But I was listening to the Bible, because I don't want to say read, because I don't read it hardly ever. I always listen to it. And Jesus, it's the story of Jesus at the well with the Samaritan woman in John 4. And in that scripture, as Pastor just said at the beginning, Jesus said, the Father is seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So our prayer this year is, Lord, how do we become the kind of... It's good? Okay. How do we become the kind of worshipers that you're seeking? Because he's seeking. And I'm like, I want to be what he's looking for. And so we've been praying about it. Lord, reveal that to us. And I've heard a lot of messages about it. And in hindsight, I'm not sure they were on point. But I'll tell you two of the things we've learned. We have a lot, long way to go. Two of the things we've learned is the scripture that says about talking about worshiping him in truth is worshiping him with transparency, where I say, Lord, this is where I am. I want you to see in me. No pretense, no posturing. I want you to see me, but I want to see him. I want there to be an exchange of truth. The second part of truth was to be authentic. And I'm going to tell you a story that was my story of authenticity just a few weeks ago. Some of you may or may not know the young lady who used to play guitar, keyboard, drums, whatever she was on. She is my youngest daughter. And I moved her to Indianapolis end of June. And she graduated from college, got a good job. Thank you, Jesus. It worked. But I have done worship with my daughter since she was 6 years old. First time I came when she was gone, horrible. I woke up that morning, I thought, I'm going to throw up. I'm not going to be able to do this. And I'm usually the first one here, and I was like, oh, I need a bag or something. I'm like, how do you gracefully lead worship when you want to throw up? But God knew. I wasn't playing any games with him. I'm having a hard time today. You are worthy of my praise always. No matter what I feel like, he's worthy. And so the term sacrifice of praise, when you come in and you feel horrid, because something just happened, and let's be honest, it happens. We give a sacrifice of praise because it isn't about how I feel, it's about who he is. And so being authentic, you don't have to be fake. He knows who you are. He knows my name. There's a song. They'll have a song for everything. I'm sorry. I could probably, I don't think you can say a phrase that I don't have a song in my head for. So about 3 months ago, I heard this song called In the River. And because of how my brain works, whenever we're going to do a song, I want to know, what does the scripture say about this song? I'm not going to do a song that just sounds good. Not going to happen. So this song, In the River, I knew it was referencing Ezekiel, because I've been in church, literally I was born on the pew, not really, but kind of. So I'm like, I know that's from Ezekiel 47. So I went to Ezekiel 47 and read it, and it talks about, and I have scriptures on all your pages. They have scriptures up there. I'm going to tell you the story of the scripture, but you have it for reference sake, okay? So the Ezekiel scripture is this river that he's seeing is coming from the temple. And it comes out and it's just ankle high, the water that's coming out of the temple. And then it gets to knee high, then thigh high, then it's waters you can swim in. It says to the horse's bridle, which is about your shoulders if you've never been around a horse. And in this river, though, it's full of fish. This is all coming from the temple of God. Full of fish. And in the message, it says that fishermen are along the banks fishing shoulder to shoulder. Now, I'm not a fisherman, but I've seen people fish. And they don't stand shoulder to shoulder. They space out. So I'm thinking, there's a lot of fish in this water. And then it talks about these trees that are along it. And they bloom every month. Trees don't bloom every month. The fruit is for nourishment. And the leaves are for healing. And in most versions of the Bible, this passage in Ezekiel 47 is labeled the river of healing. So I'm reading this and I'm reading it. And so then I get kind of sidetracked and I'm thinking, wait a minute, we're talking about the temple. T.D. Jakes, who I have listened to for many years, has a statement. He says the Old Testament is the schoolmaster of the New Testament. If you need to understand the Old Testament for the New Testament to make sense. So I went back further to the tabernacle in the wilderness. How many of you have ever read or heard of the five love languages? Everybody in here that has family that loves you, I recommend that you read this book so that you can tell them how to love you effectively. And it says that different people understand love differently. Quality time, touch, presence, acts of service, and words of affirmation. That's my lowest one. That's why I never remember it. Okay, so what, in my world, what communicates love to me is attention to detail. Just does. When someone does something that I know they've paid attention, I'm like, ooh, you paid attention. Okay? So here's why this is so significant. You go back to the tabernacle, there's chapters of details about this. The intricate, it's almost ad nauseum detail about every single thing about the tabernacle. Then you go up to Solomon's temple. Chapters of details. Go to Ezekiel. Chapters of details about a vision of a temple. And I'm thinking, you put all this attention into this temple. And in the Old Testament, you're talking about rivers of living water. Enter Jesus Christ, New Testament. John. Same story of the Samaritan woman, where we've been thinking, Lord, how do we become the worshipers you're seeking, that we worship you in spirit and truth? Same story. He says, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for water. Because I have rivers of living water. And then in John 7, he says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Jesus Christ dies, the crucifixion, in the tabernacle, temple, veil that separated the Holy of Holies from everything else, that made it separate, was violently torn in half. And all of a sudden, who's the temple? Who is the temple? All that attention to detail, all that ad nauseum detail, all of a sudden is you. All that focus is you. And all of a sudden you house the Holy Spirit of God. Now, worship, again, is my passion. Not the 2 hours we're here on Sunday morning. Although I love this part. It's fun. I love to sing. But I have in me rivers of living water. Now, I want you to think about your month. My world is in a month because I have board meetings that are once a month and that kind of thing. So I'm looking at my world on a monthly basis. Where are all the people that I'm around? Who are all the people I see in all the situations I'm in where I need to be rivers of living water, where I bring healing, where I bring life? Oh, one thing I forgot about the river back here in Ezekiel, and this is the best part of that story, is the river hits the Dead Sea. There is nothing living in the Dead Sea. It's got minerals in it. Teeming with life is what it says. So if I'm fulfilling my purpose, which is to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, I have that in me. I need to be aware of it. I need to be in agreement with it. I need to be conscious of it. I need to be intentional about it. What is God wanting to do in all of the thousands of settings that's represented in this room today? Not the 2 hours of real estate on Sunday morning. Although this is wonderful, beneficial, helpful, actually required, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. But it's not the whole point. The point is, what are you to your world? Now, if the worship team would come up, oh boy, I'm so short, sorry. If the worship team would come up and the prayer team would come up, I want to tell you a story, because I want to tell you a story, and you're going to think this is a ridiculous story, but I think it will help you understand a point I want to make about what you believe. I grew up in Indianapolis. My parents were on the pastoral staff of a very, very large church in Indianapolis. When I was 11, we moved to Ohio, and my dad became the pastor of the church that his dad had started. And we were back in Indianapolis for some big event. I don't know what it was. So I'm 12, roughly. And in that setting, two different people came up to me and said, now mind you, there's hundreds and hundreds of people there, maybe thousands because it was a big event, and said to me, I remember your older brother, and I remember the twins, but I don't remember you. And I had two people say that to me. In the mind of a 12-year-old child, I must be invisible. Now, you're all looking at me thinking, yeah, right. As my oldest daughter says, Mom, you are 6 feet tall. You are not invisible. But, and you have to understand, I was a very, very, very introverted child. So when you told me I was invisible, I was like, that's the best news you could have possibly given me. I'm in this huge group of people and nobody can see me. But here's what it's brought about. I have to remember that you can see me. Because I don't think about it. There's something in my brain that latched on to that. I don't know if it's because I liked it so much. And I'm like, people can see you, Stephanie. Now, I've gotten past it a lot. But you can't believe what it created is I'm not self-conscious at all. I don't get embarrassed because I'm not aware that you're looking at me. It's just not a thing. But as you look at me, a 6-foot-tall woman thinks I'm invisible. And it's ridiculous. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ said, you will be filled with living water. It's red letter. If you do red letter. He's telling you, this is what you are. It's not a lie. It is absolute truth. So today, I would like, if you would all please stand, I would like to invite you either to come up to the prayer partners that are up here, stay in your seat, come and pray without prayer partners, but ask the Lord, Lord, how do I become the kind of worshiper that you're seeking? I want to worship you in spirit, and I want to worship you in truth. And I want to believe, and I want to walk out the fact that you have made me the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am the carrier of Jesus Christ. You are the carriers. And to understand what that means to you, we're going to sing, it's a song that you know, but we're not singing it the way you know it. We're singing it in a way that I just want it to settle on you, not get you all riled up, because I'm not trying to get you riled up. I want you to understand something. I want it to become truth to you. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Let's sing it again. I've got a river of life flowing. River of life flowing out of me. One more time. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me.
When we were in our, and we still are kind of in our series of covenant elevation, we hit a part where we ran across the day of Pentecost. Excuse me. And I didn't know when it was going to happen within the series, but I knew that there would be a moment where we would have to be challenged to either become, I'm not even sure how to say it, to go deeper in the Holy Spirit, or for some to for the first time actually receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus talked about in John 7, there would be rivers of living water. That's what he was talking about. The Bible says in verse 39, he says, when Jesus said that, he was referring to the advent of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in us. Now, what does that all have to do with this series? Well, what you have to understand is that when it comes to all that God has promised us, when it comes to all that God really wants us to experience, it really all begins there with the Holy Spirit. It's because our life in Christ isn't about us being good Christians. It's good to be good Christians, but that's not what it's about. We become someone different. And the way we become someone different is that we become a new person. We have a new spirit in us. The life of us is the spirit of us. So as a man or as a woman, you have a spirit in you that basically is the life who you are. It's the essence of life of who you are. You have a spirit, you have a soul that more distinctly defines your personality, your will, and your emotions. And then, of course, you have a body. Some taller, some shorter, some other things. I can go all day with that. But now that the Holy Spirit has come, there's a new essence of life. There's a whole new well to draw from. That's why we sing that song that says, spring up a well. There's a song, even in I believe it's in Exodus, where it talks about, they sang to the well, they said, spring up, O well. And in this New Testament time, in this new covenant time, there's a new well to drink from. It's not the old, corrupted, tainted well of our old humanity. It's a new well of the kingdom of God that allows us to drink new and living water, that gives us new life, that gives us new joy, real lasting joy. Jesus said, my joy I give to you that your joy might be full. My joy I give to you that your joy will remain, so that you're not just happy today and then all of a sudden something goes wrong on your job and now you're, you know, stomping around or whatever, mad. No, I can still draw from this well that's in me. Even if nobody comes to encourage me, even if nobody hears my side of the story, there's still a well for me to draw from now because of the Holy Spirit. That's what today is really about. Whether you have received the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the full baptism of the Holy Spirit, or if you may have not just spent a whole lot of time in the Holy Spirit, like we probably should be, that's what today is about. It's about renewing that covenant. It's about initiating that covenant if we haven't started into it yet. Some of us may think, like, man, what does it feel like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Am I going to start rolling on the floor? Maybe. I don't know. Am I going to start speaking in tongues? Maybe. I don't know. What happens when you speak in tongues? Does it hurt? You know, does it? What's going on right there? Listen, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you know it. That's all I can tell you. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know it. Here's what the Bible says in Luke. If we, being evil, know how to give our children good gifts, how much more will the Father in heaven give us the Holy Spirit? Now, in Luke, he says the Holy Spirit. In Matthew, he says something different. But in Luke, he says, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit, if we but ask? Would you give a snake to your child if they ask you for bread? Of course not. Would you give your child something poisonous if they ask you for a drink of water? Of course not. So if we, being evil, the dust of the ground, sinful, broken man, know how to give our children good gifts, how much more does the Father in heaven know how to give his children good gifts, how to give his children the Holy Spirit, if we but ask? And let me just, if you're thinking this way, hey, you know, I've kind of been getting along all right with just coming to church and praying a few times a week. you're entering a time now where you need the Holy Spirit. And you don't need the Holy Spirit to roll on the floor. You don't need the Holy Spirit to come in church and speak in tongues for 2 hours. That's not what you need the Holy Spirit for. It's nice to be able to do all of those things, but you need the Holy Spirit to live. You need the Holy Spirit to overcome temptation. You need the Holy Spirit to overcome some wounds. You need the Holy Spirit to be able to forgive people. You need the Holy Spirit to be able to receive forgiveness. But then there's so many wonderful gifts. The Holy Spirit will give us gifts of healing, gifts of faith, even a new prayer language that our minds may not comprehend, but our spirits, by way of that gift, are actually declaring the wonderful attributes of God. Our minds don't know what we're saying, but we're speaking in a real language. Our spirits may get it. Our minds may not, but something in what we're saying is declaring the goodness, the wondrous works of God. Whether we are speaking by ourselves and edifying ourselves, or whether we're speaking something that needs to be interpreted for a mass audience. For whatever gift that we have functioning, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Anybody got a power drill at home? I got two power drills. One that's portable, one that plugs in. So if I got to go a long distance from an outlet, I plug that battery in. Or if I got some, if that one ran out, it's like, hey, I can just plug right in and do the same thing. But a power drill is not much good without power. I know you might be able to sing, you might be able to teach, you might be able to preach, you might be able to do a whole lot of things. But the effective working of your gift in the life of another person needs the power of God. And I'm going to drop this, and at some point I'm going to shut up and invite you into a new place. Some of you may have seen a video by Christine Kane. She talks about the crushing. And I don't even know I may show it sometime. It may open a sermon next week or sometime next month. But at some point, I'd love to show that to you. But she talks about the crushing. And she talks about how the world doesn't need gifted people. The world needs anointed people. The gifts and the callings are without repentance. You're born with a gift. But the anointing comes at a price. The anointing comes at a place of crushing. When the Bible talks about anointing, it's usually talking about oil. So it's usually talking about the olive. And when the olive expresses its oil, that means it's being crushed. And right now we're in a time where the body of Christ, what the second half of this season is all about. We've come out of a halftime place, but there's a place of crushing where the anointing oil has to come forth. And you got to know, hey, this God's not forsaking me. The devil isn't winning. I'm just being crushed for the sake of the anointing of God flowing out. I'm just being crushed by God for the sake of the anointing oil pouring out of me. But if that oil is going to pour out of me, it's got to first be in me. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He's that anointing oil that begins to pour out. That's what this world needs. That's what this world needs. The world doesn't need to know your political affiliation. The world doesn't need to know who you voted for. The world doesn't even need to know what church you go to. The world needs the anointing oil to touch their lives and they experience life change in the presence of a holy God. That's what this world needs. That's what this world needs. It's not a whole lot of what this world is talking about. And as Christian believers, sometimes we can fall into that same trap where it's like, you know, I don't think I like you because you vote. And we can fall into that same thing. Like, wait, hold on. Wait a minute. That's not kingdom. I don't even know what that is. That's not the kingdom I've been called to. I'm not really all that concerned with who is or is not president. What I care about is who is God. Who is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Presidents are going to change. But you know what? Jesus Christ is going to always be on the throne. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. It all belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth and all they that dwell therein. How many of you remember a song? This is my Father's world. I don't know it. I don't know the words to it. That's the only part I remember. I thought I was going to sing it. Nope. But you get the gist of it. This is my Father's world. It all belongs to Him. It doesn't matter what political power, it doesn't matter which side that Congress leans to, the red or the blue. It doesn't really matter. This is my Father's world. Now, why am I going on and on and on about this? Because I want you to understand how serious this is, how serious this second half is getting ready to be. This second half is getting ready to be really serious. And you're going to need some power in every situation that you face, whether it's in church, out of church, whether it's at your job or at home, doesn't really matter. You're going to need some Holy Spirit power to keep you. And so that's what this moment's all about. Thank you, Pastor Stephanie. Can we give Pastor Stephanie a hand and our worship team and our prayer team this morning? Amen. Because she opened a door that I couldn't open. God put this word in her mouth and in her heart, not in mine. Now, you probably wouldn't know that for as long as I've been talking, but that's been the case. God put this word in her heart. Well, he helped me to see it, but I just didn't have the space to say it. But God gave it to her and opened this door for this moment. Amen. What is this moment? This is a moment where somebody just needs to be filled or refilled. Right now, with the power of the Holy Spirit, can we do that this morning? Can we do that this morning? We got a little bit of time. Well, we got all the time you need, okay? But we got time right now to just bask in His presence and just ask Him, Lord, fill me. If you need help with what all of that means, our prayer team is here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never even given your life to Jesus Christ. Can I just tell you, first and foremost, in order to have the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to release your life unto Jesus Christ first. Your life needs to belong to Jesus Christ. And even if for many of us who have given our lives to the Lord, maybe that's where we need to start. Maybe that's where we need to start. Say, God, I haven't really been living. I got saved way back when, but I haven't really been living my life the way you've been wanting me to live it, because I've kind of lived my life on my own terms with my own will, and I haven't really given my life to you and surrendered like I should have. I did at one point, but now I'm kind of on the outskirts again. So I just want to surrender to you, Lord, once more. And as I surrender to you, Lord, can you just fill me back up? Fill me back up right now. Just fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting inside, Lord. Quench this thirsting that's deep down on the inside of me. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up. Make me whole. make me whole, Jesus. All the broken places, all the wounded places, places where I've been abused, whether it was verbally, whether it was physically, whether it was emotionally, all of those places, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to bring some healing. I've been talking to this one. I've been talking to that one. I've been sharing it with this person and that person, but it still feels like it's gnawing at me. Lord, would you come in and bring healing? Bring healing right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you're ready to come up right now and pray with one of our prayer team members, or just come in and just meet Jesus in the altar, you're welcome to do that now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. dismissal. So if you have to go, you can feel free to do that. But if you want to linger in this presence, especially if you feel like you need to give your life to the Lord today, maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Either way, we're here to help you do that and to pray with you, to lead you into a relationship with God, or to lead you into a rededication of your life. So just want to give you this moment right now to dismiss. But if your desire is to linger, we'll be here and we'll linger with you today. So let's lift our hands this morning. Father, thank you so much for your presence here. Thank you so much for the second half. Thank you for the second half. In the name of Jesus, what we're experiencing in this church right now, Father, I believe it's good, and I believe so many others are experiencing levels of anointing and presence very similar, probably even more intensely. Therefore, let us never get it in our hearts, Lord God, that what we're experiencing here, something better than what somebody is experiencing somewhere else. Lord, help us to know we're serving the same God, that we are children of the same Father. And so in that, Lord God, let our hearts dwell together richly with unity, with agreement, with love, compassion, and mercy, even grace, Lord God, for one another. Help us to know that we have brothers and sisters throughout this region, this city, throughout this state and nation, and throughout this world, Lord, that are facing various trials. They are having various struggles, some of them very different than what we're going through, some of them very similar to what we're going through. Nevertheless, Lord, Father, in this second half, let us banish all disagreement. Let us banish every bit of disunity. Let us cast down the spirits of all pride. Let us cast down every bit of every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. But Lord, help us to walk in humility. To walk in humility, Lord, with humble hearts, with meekness, with lowliness of heart, Lord, forgiving one another, being kind to one another, even trusting one another, Lord, believing in one another. Just as we said last week, we believe in one another. We believe in one another because you can do all things in us, and we can do all things through you. So, Lord, as we send your people out into this day and into this coming week, Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage simply to ask for your indwelling, to ask for your refilling, Lord, in the name of Jesus. As we walk out of these doors, Lord, let us do so with power, not our own strength, but with power of Holy Spirit, with power of Holy Spirit. We say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your power today, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we just praise him once again? Amen. If you need to come and pray, we invite you to do so. If you're on your way out, just hug a few people before you go, and we will see you next time. God bless you and have a great week.